When you think about the concept of salvation, redemption, Christianity is very clear and very definitive. And we are told to be bold in our faith. We are given clear evidence and have all the faith afforded to us. It's just a matter of us taking hold of it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, that passage is very clear. It's very definitive, and thus we can have boldness. Did you know that the Jewish people today are really unable to be bold because they don't have a clear picture of heaven and really hell? Here's a commentary on something as I've read through some of the material about what they believe. One source says there isn't anything after life because Jews believe that life never ends. And this is from a Jewish source, modern Jewish source. Life just goes higher and higher. In the afterlife, the soul is liberated from the body and returns closer to her source than ever before. Now, here's where they get definitive. They quote from the Torah, which would be Genesis through Deuteronomy in the Hebrew scriptures to them. And they refer to Abraham's death in Genesis 25. And as it says or attests to Abraham going and resting with his fathers, they capitalize on that phrase that's used in the book of Genesis. And they then jump immediately from that passage and go to their commentary or their rabbinical traditions, the opinions of what that means. And this is the basis for what they believe. And so here are some discussions. The Talmud discusses the experiences of several people who made the trip there and back. There and back. As Abraham or someone may have gone there and back. If the soul has become entrenched in material pleasure, she experiences the pain of ripping herself away from them so that she can experience the higher pleasure of basking in some godly light. See, it's not definitive. It's all based in commentary. They don't really have a clear picture. And so I found this phrase interesting. One particular rabbinical scholar says, by the name of Zohar, tells us that if it were not for the intercession of the pure souls above, pure souls, pure patriarchs, or pure Jewish souls making intercession for other Jews, our world could not endure for even a moment. Even our lives are stronger and impacted by the work of our ancestors in that other world. And get this last phrase here that Zohar, a respected rabbinical scholar, states. Grandma is still watching over you. Now that's what they believe. You have to read a lot of sources to kind of, but this, I found this to be somewhat parallel. Now I'm pointing something out because I want you to see a contrast in view of what we read in Hebrews 4:16 in our Bible, where we're to have boldness and to approach the throne of God, specifically the throne of God, where we know Jesus is reigning and ruling at the right hand of the throne of God, who He is making intercession for us. He is our mediator. We have definitive cause, and so we should have boldness. And when you compare what other people believe, it's really amazing. The Muslims, they believe a very ambiguous sense of heaven and hell. And here's a quote from supposedly Muhammad, their prophet. "Surely," he says, quoting from Muhammad, "a time will come over hell when its gates shall be blown by wind. There shall be none in it, and this shall be after they have remained therein for many years." But surely there's coming a time when the winds will blow over it. You see again the ambiguity. So, as you study what Muslims believe, they don't have a clear picture of what heaven or hell is supposed to be like. And it's really interesting when you consider that compared to what the Bible teaches. And the Bible is so specific. And if you get nothing else, I want you to get that point. You cannot pick up the New Testament and read and not understand where you're going. And so therefore we should have boldness. Now it's amazing to me then that people would emotionally believe in something false and blow themselves up and kill many people in the name of their religion, but they do that. And this isn't a session to just rake us over the coals, but we can't even open our mouth and talk about Christ. The one who died, the one with great evidence, rose from the grave, with great witness testimony in our Bible that tells us that more than 500 plus people were still alive in 1 Corinthians 15 who had witnessed, eyewitnessed the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The apostles laid their life down. Their message is inspired. It's harmonious. It does not contradict. And it speaks specifically of where we're going. And the question is do we believe it? I want to just briefly now say a few things based upon some passages. And I'll offer the invitation. In the book of Hebrews, I want you to notice how the book of Hebrews mentions many times how that we are under a better than system, better than the Old Testament, better than, it's far superior. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4, you may remember that Jesus is far superior. He is better than the angels. In Hebrews 7:19, this is where I've got to go fast because it's a Wednesday night. Come back Sunday morning and I'll go slower. I get to preach then too, Lord willing. Hebrews 7:19, we have a better hope. Again, think about the principle of boldness in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16, where we should be bold here. The Hebrews writer in the context of Hebrews is saying, we have a better hope, better than what we could see before in the Old Testament. In Hebrews 7:22, a better testament, a greater covenant. Why is it better? Because it's fulfilled in Christ. We can see that. In Hebrews 8 verse 6, twice the word is used. We have a mediator of a better covenant, that's Jesus Christ, which was established upon better promises, absolute established better promises. Hebrews 9:23, we have a better sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How would you like to go back under the Old Testament system and have to every week, every year, annually, practice those bloody sacrifices where you had to take a knife and literally cut the throat and bleed out an animal to experience death and to be reminded of the terrible consequences of death, and yet that animal's dead. Doesn't come back to life, it's dead. But you see, we have a better sacrifice in Christ, and we don't have to do that anymore. And so once a week, on the first day of every week, we come and we remember the suffering, the death of Christ. And aren't we thinking, that's a better sacrifice, isn't it? That's a lot better. And I think that that's great. And that should, again, instill in us boldness. And I want you to see that. And then in Hebrews 9:23, those better sacrifices, again, are the means of our heavenly home. Hebrews 10:34, the better place, enduring substance is used in this context, talking about our heavenly home, enduring substance, not like this ambiguous message of the lost Jews and the lost Muslims of the world. We have a better resurrection in Hebrews 11:35. You know, some experienced their children being brought back to life. And the Hebrews writer says they had a sense of resurrection in that, but we know now there's a better resurrection through Jesus Christ. And that's the wonderful, wonderful direction we're in. Now, finally, in the book of Romans, just to give you some Bible context to go home and study, to whet your appetite for richer Bible study, I want you to notice here where in Romans 5:17, Paul comparing Adam and Jesus. And I'll offer the invitation on these passages. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Think about Through one man, sin came into the world. That's Romans 5:12 in this same chapter. And think about the impact upon the world through Adam and Eve. But then watch what he says here about Jesus. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So here's the question. What's more powerful? The reign of sin and death through one man Adam as sin entered into the world and death passed upon all men, or the ability by faith, fact, evidence of history, to look back to the cross and say, man, that's the answer to the death problem right there. That's clear. That's definitive. And so I like the way Paul says, much more. Much more. That phrase, much more, should be, I believe, embedded in your mind. Much more impressive. Don't we get tired of death and funerals are sad? But what about, as we were talking about in Bible class here, are we looking forward to that second coming of Christ? Much more. It's going to be a great day, isn't it? For those who are saved and have that clear picture. And so I want you to just see that. And as you study through Romans 5, you'll see where, again, there's much more benefit in Christ than there is in Adam. And that's really the point Paul is making there. And so in Romans chapter 6, I'll close here. In verse 17, he reminds them. Romans 6:17, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. See, after Adam, the servants of sin. If we all just have Adam to look to, or Adam and mankind's all we have as an example to look to, what is the pattern? The sin. But you see, we've got Christ now, and so that's what he's saying here. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's the gospel of Christ, the power of God and salvation, isn't it? Romans 1:16, this very book begins, I'm not ashamed. Why am I not ashamed? Why would I be ashamed of the gospel? Much more better than that sin of transgression, the reminder of sin and death in the law of Moses. Man, we have the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation. I can't be ashamed of that. And so, having obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, that's in obedience to the gospel, being baptized, immersed in water. If you look at verses 1 through 5 in Romans 6 there, he reminds them that they'd been planted in the likeness of his death. Talking about Jesus. But they were raised in the likeness of his resurrection. To walk in a newness of life. You see, that's much more impressive. Much more better. It's like the Hebrews writer said, this is a better thing. We've got a better hope. We can be bold in our faith. It's not arrogant. That's just bold, confident. Based in facts. I'm not wondering about my grandma watching. I know she's not watching over me. Bless her heart. She died a Methodist. She can't be. It's sad. But my point is very clear on that. I have boldness because of Christ. And not because of some dead ancestors. And then look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, Romans 6:18, you became the servants of righteousness. And so we're to serve. And in service, that is much better. Again, as Christians, think about what we're serving. Are we serving a dead message or an alive, living message? When we talk to people, are we speaking life or are we speaking death? Well, it depends how you look at death to sin. But we can say, you need to put to death that old man and be buried with him in baptism where you can rise and walk in a newness of life. And that's what we should be about. And there is no... We have clear definition on what we're going, where we're going. We know that we're going to heaven. The Bible says we can know that we know if we keep His will and do it. And so, I just wanted to encourage you not to be discouraged, but to be bold. Because you have every right, really responsibility and commandment to be bold in your faith. To help others. To see how much more better is it to be a Christian. If you need to compare and talk to them, compare their evidences and say, look at what you've got. Look at what the Bible says. Why would you believe that? If they choose to believe that, well, that's their choice. We're going to choose to do what's right. Isn't that great? That's so good. So I hope that you will study your Bible and be impressed. Look at Romans 5 and look through the book of Hebrews and study that. And be bold in your faith. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're here and you know exactly what you need to do, if you're ready to repent of your sins, you've made your mind up, and you're ready to confess Christ before men publicly, well, we're ready to immerse you if you're ready to make that confession. Baptize you in Christ for the remission of your sins, wherein you can arise to walk in the newness of life. If as a child of God, you need the prayers of the congregation, you need a more bolder faith, then let us pray for you. We can pray for you. Why don't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing. Why don't you come, please?